This is the men's room.
Get it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The drippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying eyes a kite.
You're listening to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Racer consultants are standing by. We'll take caller 9-844-999-OLA, and you'll play profile this in minutes. Hey, we do have your headlines on the way 1 hour from now. First, quick check into Mike Hawk for some of the stories and headlines he is not working on.
All right, a man in Florida was arrested after he shoved 11 bottles of liquor down his pants at a Walmart and tried to limp out of the store.
That's a lot of liquor.
That is an incredible amount of liquor.
Everyone's pants.
How would you think people are not going to notice that, man?
He watched Kids too many times.
At least steal minis, right?
You'd think.
But minis are behind the counter.
See, that's a problem.
For just such a problem.
I'd have stolen the minis, except you put out the big bottles.
Yeah.
And then what do you do, though, right? So if the guy walks out, you catch him, and I know they are sealed. I know the labels on them, but like you give managers special, like $5 off, they've been down someone's pants.
That's a liquor bottle. I drink pants liquor.
Pants liquor?
I'm eating lawn meat.
Pocket dogs, lawn meat, and pants liquor.
Yeah, like, right, they're not open. They were just
they're not near, open.
Right, they were just in his pants. Throw that bottle in the freezer, chill her down, good to go.
There you go. Wash off the outside so there's no residue.
Yes, yes.
It's very sanitary. It's all alcohol.
A police officer in Georgia may have survived being shot on Tuesday because the bullet hit the phone that was in his shirt pocket.
Well done.
Excellent.
Good thing he was on call.
Phone in a shirt pocket.
Damn it, Ted.
Jeez.
An officer was shot.
But he lived. He's fine.
His phone was shot.
Time to get a new phone. Battery's going fast.
A woman in Florida was arrested earlier this month for throwing a paint roller at her boyfriend when he didn't want to have sex.
But how do you get arrested for that?
That's so
rubber. Here.
I mean, like, would you call the cops for that?
Apparently. If you've just had enough, I would assume yes.
Yeah, she rolled him.
Hello.
It's going off the rails. A new study found Santa's reindeer. Ted, do you have any idea how far Santa's reindeer will travel this Christmas Eve?
I do not, Mike.
41 million miles.
So you're working on that.
And they will work for 31 hours straight. No, I just have the numbers right here.
And then what? We just give them carrots? That's supposed to make it all better?
Exactly. Actually,
if I were one of those reindeer,
carrots.
Man, all that work that I had to do if I'm a reindeer, I'd defecate on every roof.
You're actually not supposed to give them carrots. Ted, are you still
what
doing
that? What are you supposed to give a reindeer?
You need to give them the cookies, too. They're burning carbs.
Strong point.
Ted, are you still doing your thing at the shelter? With the food? Doing your annual thing?
Yeah.
He makes reindeer sausage.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Feeding all the...
Are you doing the tubes?
All the reindeer?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Attaboy, Ted. 31 hours is too dang long. I need a break.
31? Shouldn't it just be 24 hours? Isn't that the deal? You got like one day to do it, man.
Well, no, they got
to
take off at some point from the North Pole and make it all the way down.
I would just think if you could get from the North Pole, like, why does it take so long to get from the North Pole to where you're going to start dropping presents? But then once you're dropping presents, they can hustle. You know what I'm saying?
Like, Mike, is your company paying? Why do you care how many hours they work?
I'm just
keep
saying,
it under
man.
35.
I apply to the reindeer. They're overworked.
They only work once a year.
That's true.
No, they're working
I'll
all year
I'll take that gig.
Man.
I'll take that gig.
You don't move that fast if you're only working one day a year, man. They're putting in work all year round, keeping in shape.
Some guy's like, I work 4 tens. Reindeer like, okay, cool. I work 31 hours a week.
It's like that jack.
A year.
It's like that jack kangaroo in Australia. They're all buff.
He's done. He's dead.
Fast food gets a bad rap for being unhealthy, but a new study found that meals you get at fast food joints probably have fewer calories than the meals that you get at sit-down chain restaurants.
There's no question about that.
Because you get more food and you get a lot of it.
Exactly.
Plus, there's all these studies that just show, like, you'll eat more at a restaurant.
Of course.
Sure. Yeah.
Through appetizers and all that. You're not going to order an appetizer at a drive-thru.
I'm going to sit here and eat free bread while I decide what meal to get.
Unless you're me on a Friday night.
Oh, you freaking...
If you want to be happy in your 60s and 70s, the key is...
Live long enough to get there.
Sex. Having sex every 2 weeks.
Yes!
It's key to happiness at any age after you discover sex.
Yeah, time's up, mama.
Day 14.
Yeah, I really do feel like that could go for any age bracket over 20.
Happy in your 30s? Have sex at least once every 2 weeks. Okay.
Yeah. A worker at an Amazon fulfillment center in Orlando was just arrested for stealing more than $4,000 worth of stuff.
I'm surprised it doesn't happen more.
I was going to say, that stuff's bound to happen.
It's got to. But the old saying, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered.
Great saying.
Wow.
That's one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. It's a good one, man.
Yeah, and I mean, right, that's the same thing that, like, in the Christmas time, like, that's what'll happen at, you know, UPS, FedEx, whatever. Like,
all of them.
Right, people are just, you know, I don't want to say it's human nature to steal, but some people just
can't. Well, obviously it is when you have to have rules. I mean, essentially, like, human nature goes a lot of directions, and the ones that are effed up are like, okay, let's make a law.
Right. AAA is predicting record-breaking travel over the holidays with 112.5 million people either flying or driving somewhere.
They make this prediction every year.
You know why? Because the population is continuing to increase.
Yeah,
right? That's all.
That's up from 4.4% from last year.
That's why, like, the Earth's population isn't declining.
Right.
Butterfinger is tweaking its recipe and its packaging.
What?
Just a little bit.
Oh, no. For a minute, I thought you meant my proctologist.
I love the Butterfinger. Don't F the Butterfinger up.
They're going to have better quality chocolate, Miles.
All right, that's fair.
All right.
It's all about the taste, man. No one buys a candy bar for the quality. I mean, it's strictly, this is the taste of my enjoyment.
Well, obviously, you don't eat Toblerones.
Let's say you don't turn down chocolate bars for the quality.
If McDonald's put, you know, their bun on ciabatta bread, I'd be like, ah!
That's not what I want.
Oh,
we're making the bun more sophisticated. I'm going to punch you in the face.
What if it's on a... brioche.
I like a brioche.
Okay, maybe.
Brioche is so good. Anybody can be fancy.
I also don't mind the ciabatta. I don't know what Miles is complaining about.
It's the ass in the bread.
Yeah, it's just too tough for me for a sandwich. I mean, I guess if I had hard Italian lunch meat on there. Hard salami is what I'm trying to say. Jesus. Yeah. Go ahead, Mike. I'm going to take a time out.
Christmas Eve is one of the most common times for heart attacks, according to a new study.
Happy holidays.
At 10 o'clock.
Wait for it, especially for older people. At 10 o'clock. The Ted Smith's birthday is on Christmas Eve, everybody.
Oh, seriously, I read the article.
That's a lie. 10 a.m. or 10 p.m.?
10 p.m. Basically, they're saying if you're like 60 or 70 with the stress of everything of the next day, like 9 to 10 p.m. is the highest heart attacks is on Christmas Eve.
I would think at 60 and 70, like, you just don't care anymore.
If you have that, if your family sucks.
I thought you were just turning it up at 10 o'clock there, Ted.
You should be all relaxed.
No. Like,
enjoying each other's time.
And you know what? I'm lying again. I didn't read that article. I saw it on the BBC.
Hello.
What's all then, this?
You know, 10 o'clock on Christmas Eve, people be having
We left our biscuits.
Shaky monkeys be clutching their chest right around 10.
I'm Wayne Rooney, and now
they're all seeing Santa
Claus. BBC.
They're all seeing Santa Claus. He sees you when you're sleeping and when you're awake, not him.
Yeah, he's not a peeping Tom or anything.
The annual list of worst passwords of the year just came out, and once again, the most common terrible passwords that people are using are...
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Exactly.
A, B, C, D.
And...
Password.
Password.
Password, password.
I use my cock.
I mean, password.
Mike uses the N-bomb.
17.
No one will ever guess that that's his password.
And nobody will ever ask for it either.
Right, that's his Wi-Fi.
Everything.
N-bomb
lover. He can type it in front of you and people are scared to copy it.
N-bomb lover 17. That way when the kids log on, like, oh, N-bomb lover 17.
Look at everybody that blushes when I put in my password. It's like, you son of a bitch.
Mike's like, for real, do not look at my password.
Serves
like, it's a work email. What am I going to find out? Just don't watch me type it.
Who's the tongue puncher?
Oh, no. New superhero.
Oh.
I committed a lot of crimes. I've been a bad boy.
Jesus. You're about to get
punched by the tongue.
Slurp me up. I've been a bad man.
I don't like him, Marge, but they do call him the tongue puncher.
With his sidekick, the plunger.
Yeah. I'm here too.
It's all Twitter's fault.
There's a new way that you can get priority boarding on Alaska flights.
How's that?
I'll tell you all about it 1 hour from now.
Thank you, Mike Hawk. Headlines are coming up 1 hour from now. First, the game is...
The Men's Room presents... Profile This.
Hey, Steve, throw a hook. Can you please tell everyone how Profile This is played?
I sure can, Miles. It's a simple game where we share with you a real-life news story, something that happened right here on planet Earth.
Earth.
And as you listen to the story, based on the stereotypes you believe to be true of people and the decisions that people make, we'll ask you what it is you think makes a story a story. Miles, we spare no expense on the special effects,
all right?
Yeah, we told a guy earlier today, he asked how we do that incredible Earth thing, and it was, I don't know if he got all the tech that we laid down, but he was amazed. Hello, Matt. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores, guys.
All right, Matty Matt, you understand how this here game is played?
I know how to play the game. Hey, and by the way, I was just at your studio on Sunday night for the live and local, or the loud and local thing. Great. Cool. Studio.
Yeah,
really,
man.
Cool.
I knew someone was in here messing around stealing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Matt.
I did not steal anything.
Yeah, that's what they said you'd say.
Somebody who stole stuff would say.
Well, you guys had the keg locked. In the kitchen,
Do you know why? You know why? Because you would notice that it's locked.
You only know it's locked because you checked.
That's why it's locked, because we know the people like, I don't know, Matt here will try to steal your beer when you're not there on a Sunday. Damnedest thing. All right, Matt, here's your story, and this game, not a lot to go on. We have a 25-year-old man. This is in New York City. 25-year-old man, he's facing felony charges after a traffic stop. Because that's when it was revealed that his driver's license had been suspended 65 times. Again, he's 25 years old. His license has been suspended 65 times. The man was arrested after officers spotted him driving a 2005 Honda that had been reported stolen. So a license check revealed the guy's checkered past, if you will. He now faces a felony charge for unlicensed operation of a car, as well as misdemeanor for unauthorized use of a car. Again, this 25-year-old man has had his license suspended, not taken away, suspended 65 times and gets busted for driving a stolen vehicle. Do you believe that this genius is black, white, Temexi, or Jew?
Has to be white.
Oh, he's gotten 65. It's been suspended 65 times, or he's gotten caught on a suspended license 65 times.
His license has been suspended 65 times.
You said it was in New York City?
New York City.
No way. There's no way he could go without it without being white. He's white.
Okay, you gonna make that your final answer, Matt?
Yeah.
My guess is going to be a curveball. I'm going to say Jewish. New York City.
I'm going to say black.
Okay. All right, white final answer, Matt. We're going to find out if he's black, white, Mexican, or Jewish next.
That was a tease.
You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
We return to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
We head to New York City. On Profile This, we have a man who had his license suspended 65 times. The man is only 25 years old.
That's the impressive part.
And he was caught when he was arrested after police pulled him over in a stolen vehicle. They ran the tags. They realized the vehicle was stolen. They pulled him over. They finally busted him again for this 66th time.
So, Matt, we asked you, did you think that this guy is black, white, Mexican, Jew? Now, you said white, gotta be white. There's no effing way you can have your license suspended 65 freaking times. You said the curveball, I went
Jewish.
You went Jewish.
New York City.
And, Ted, you went black.
I went black.
All of you were wrong.
Oh, no way.
Mexican.
God.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's a hard game.
It is a hard game. Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot to go on. I like where his brain went. Just said, like, who in the hell has...
Right.
Well, this guy who looks like a woman with a goatee.
Oh, Jesus. That's a strange-looking guy.
All right, ladies, step out. Oh, sorry.
Looks like he's in a band.
Now for all TV news all the time, and it's time for TV Time with Ted.
And now, because your pathetic life is confined to countless hours in front of a talking box, the Men's Room presents TV Time with Ted.
Kevin Garnett, a famous basketball player, now a studio
analyst.
Analyst, thank you.
Color commentary guy, whatever.
Hey, easy.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I forgot a basketball player might be black.
We all color commentators here, player.
On the other end of the spectrum, Steve Nash now is commentating on soccer.
He always loved that. He always loved soccer. Yeah.
He's Canadian.
Okay. He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I'm Canadian. They just kind of let me do what I want, you know.
So, Kevin Garnett, great basketball player, but kind of had a reputation of kind of being an a-hole, right?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Are you serious?
I don't know.
Ted's being kind. Yeah. He said, well, he kind of ain't no kind.
I always liked him as a player.
Me too.
So I will just say this. I would not follow his dating advice, but they have a segment on Inside the NBA where somebody needed some advice, and Kevin Garnett gave this answer.
Dear Inside, I've been dating this girl for about 3 weeks. Christmas is coming up soon. Is it too soon to get her a present? If not, what should I get her?
3 weeks, dude, you got to get her something for Christmas.
Barkley.
Flowers, some type of outfit or something, but you got to get her something. You cannot date a girl for 3 weeks and not get her anything for Christmas. Come on, man. You cheap, no good, snake in the grass. You just don't want to give a gift because you don't want to spend the money. Christmas is not Kenny. About who I choose to. Or not. It's about giving. Give to anyone. Anyone you care about. You just cheap. I get it. Don't fake the funk on a nasty dunk.
My advice to you is, yes, do not give her a gift. It's too soon, 3 weeks. Yeah, don't give her a gift and then see how she reacts to that. And that's who she really is.
No, solid advice, man. You lock a woman in the trunk of a car for like 18 hours. And how she reacts when you let her out of that trunk.
Dog like, still loves you.
Yeah, go I see how you are.
People do that.
Dog still loves you.
Go to the Mention Facebook page. Watch. I mean, he's dead serious when he says this.
Oh, for real?
Oh, yeah. He is not kidding. Ernie Johnson, after that, says something like, oh, I'm the oldest one here. Just break up with her and get with her after the holidays. Right, so he's kind of tongue-in-cheek. Kevin Garnett is like, yeah, honestly, it's too early.
Don't buy nothing.
Mm-hmm. So, look. I think I don't know. I've definitely been there where I've been dating somebody just since like the beginning of December. Like,
yeah.
You gotta get up something.
Yeah.
Not nothing too crazy, but you gotta put a little effort in.
I feel like Charles Barkley, though, when he was talking, I'm like, this guy, and he'll openly admit, loves prostitutes. So I'm like, I wonder what gifts come to mind with him. Oh, Baltrex and some condoms.
Yeah, well, the other thing, I said, look, not getting her something, right? It's December. Again, nothing crazy. I'd say, yeah, $30 should cover it. But not getting her something is equal to her saying, don't give me anything for Valentine's, and you don't.
Right, right.
Jackass.
Yes.
Anybody listening, if you're a little bit younger, just get at least a card and some flowers on Valentine's.
You'll be fine.
Yeah,
it's just when you get older that it gets much more complicated as more people get mature.
Right.
So the more mature and old you get, the more expectations rise, and then you get effed.
Or you could do what I do sometimes. Keep it simple. Get a heart-shaped pizza.
Bam, I like
pepperoni.
It.
I mean, it helps if you have a girl that's cool and down with it.
I can't.
Don't be shooting daggers at me.
Yeah. It ain't going to work for everybody.
Right.
Just remember that. That'll work. You know who you are if that will work.
Yeah. Right. Let's see. A lot of talk going around about Kevin Hart. And he ended up turning down the Oscars. Said, look, I ain't going to do it. I got to apologize these tweets. So, Jerry Seinfeld's doing an interview, I want to say, for the Today Show, like the Sunday edition. So, here's a little preview, and they asked him about Kevin Hart.
Kevin is in a position, because he's a brilliant comedian, to kind of decide what he wants to do. He doesn't have to step down, but he can. And when you look at that situation, well, who got screwed in that deal? I think Kevin's going to be fine. But how many find another Kevin Hart? That's not so easy. He's a brilliant guy with a movie career, you know. But most of the time, comedians, we are expected to be the most agile in terms of how we think and construct our thoughts and what comes out of our mouth. We have been navigating these slalom gates forever. When I started out, you know, there were dirty comedians. Well, if you want to get on the Tonight Show, or if you want to get on TV, you can't use any of those words. And a lot of us went, okay. I still want to play. I'll play. Oh, here's a new rule. We're cutting this out. Okay, I'll get around that. So that's our thing. It's like Lindsey Vonn. Wherever you put the gays, I'm going to make them.
I mean, he makes a strong point. At the end of the day, the Oscars are the one that can't even find a host now.
Right.
They would never be able to just based on anyone's past life.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's why now the people are getting vetted to be the host. It doesn't excuse anything you've done, but it's the point. Like, look, again, the Oscars are not important. It's a self-congratulatory thing. It's fun. It's all those things. It's not important. But if you're going to get vetted that hard and dig through people's everything, like, nobody's going to host, man. Like, why go through the controversy to host something that inevitably is completely meaningless?
There's very few people out there who have not, through trial and error, made some bad mistakes, some worse than others, whatever the deal is. But you can't judge someone based on, if you're going to do that, if you're going to judge someone based on their entire life, you're going to have a hard time finding anybody to take any job.
But it depends
any
on,
job.
But the thing
any
is,
job,
it depends what the job is and what you do. Right. Hosting the Oscars, for me personally, and I understand it's big money and all that, there's no relevance to them. There's no importance to them. It does not matter what happens in the Oscars. It's going to have zero impact on anyone's livelihood, health, anything. But more than that, if you're going to hire a comedian, just know, like, comedians, it's a slippery slope because they make a lot of jokes about a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Right? And that's the idea. That's what they do. And frankly, like, this doesn't make it right, but also times change. There are certain things I used to say all the time that I wouldn't say now.
I was
going
to say that.
Right.
I used to use another word for mentally disabled.
Yeah.
Which I'm trying, I'll slip every once in a while still to this day.
You know what I mean? Keep saying VD, but
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, but I've used it in the past. We used to do a thing where we go to Philly, and you know how Philly does it, call everybody the friends or F word. Yeah. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
We don't do that anymore. Because
dude, I remember just sitting in my sister's salon, right? She works at, now obviously she's like one of two women. Everybody else in there is a gay male.
Mm-hmm.
So she would be like, do you want me to do this hairstyle or whatever? And I'd be like, no, man, that's gay.
Right.
And finally she was like, hey. Like, don't say that. Like,
I used to do that.
I was like, you know what? You're right. Like, and that's what I'm saying. Like, at the time, I didn't think about it like hurting somebody. It was just a term we use. But as you get, right, times change.
I used to do that white Virginian who's just a racist piece of crap, and then Charlottesville happened. I was like, I'm done with that.
Yeah.
That's a true statement. I was like, dude, I'm not going to do it anymore.
Because it's real.
Got some pretty good people or pretty bad people.
On both sides, you know what I mean? Right. Messed up my bit.
Well, that's what happened with me. I had a friend who was not yet open about their sexuality, and somebody said to me, like why would that person ever be honest with you? You guys keep using that F word. And that's when I was like, all right, I gotta stop using it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So let's see, remember when Roseanne left? Everybody's like, oh man, that show is doomed. Wrong. The ratings for the Conners aren't as bad as people believed, and they're negotiating with a cast for season 2. John Goodman, Laura Metcalf, and Sarah Gilbert have all this hurts to say. They've all been making $375,000 an episode.
God.
And they're going to get more for a second season. It was the season's number one new comedy, doing well with 18 to 49-year-olds. TMZ caught up with Goodman, seemed in a great mood. It is funny. They asked him if he's been keeping in touch with Roseanne, and he just shook his head and said no. Look, I think you don't work with somebody as long as they did and have that. Like, they obviously have an actual friendship and relationship. So, I mean, I get that they don't talk now, because, I mean, it's got to be odd, right? Like, he knows he's got to support the cast and stay on that show. I mean,
Was that your stomach?
That was.
What did it say? What was it telling you?
We need a beer.
Here.
Have a chance. Okay.
I thought it was something outside.
You sure?
No, look, I don't just make whale noises with my mouth.
God damn.
Just when you want people to drop off the line.
Sorry again. But yeah, that's it. For John Goodman, that's an odd spot. Of course, him and Roseanne don't talk much. And no, she's not a losing her damn mind.
Yeah, it wasn't a whole lot to lose.
Yeah, she was clinging on. I mean, when you put an unstable person once again in the spotlight.
Right.
I mean, it's bound to happen.
Everybody knows where the spotlight belongs.
On the butt cheeks.
All right, what's one of our...
Thank you for that quick aside.
Is that from a festival?
No, it's from a Go-Go song.
Oh.
What is one of the favorite accents you like to do, Thrill? Not accents, impersonations.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I like...
I can tell you the ones I like.
Reverend Al Sharpton.
I like Al Sharpton. I like Shannon Sharp, especially if Shannon Sharp's listening.
What if I said the name Lance?
Lance,
let's buy this house together.
Oh, my girl Miley. Right? Is she in the news?
She is.
Lance.
Talking about Liam?
What's that?
Liam?
No, remember Miley and Lance were going to, Lance Bass,
oh my
were
going to
buy the Brady Bunch house.
Brady Bunch house, that's right.
Lance, they bought the Brady Bunch house. I don't think we can do it anymore. You know, I've cut back on my smoking a little bit.
So Miley had a pretty funny story about smoking weed, and apparently her parents like weed.
My mom's a big stoner. I remember when I started smoking weed, I mean, she thought I was like growing little horns and just becoming the devil. And now she smokes more pot than anyone that I know. And like, you know, I'll call her on the phone and she'll say, I gotta go, you know, I got something real important I gotta get to. And I'm like, I know there's a doobie on your lap, just show me. And she's like, okay, I gotta go smoke this with your dad. And they actually, it's very sweet. They smoke together and they play with these humming hummingbirds, but you know hummingbirds are very small, so they're supposed to be very fast. All the hummingbirds
are they real or are they
no,
cartoon?
They're, no, they're real, and they're all really slow now because my dad overfeeds them, and so you've never seen a hummingbird just like cruise barely. The way that they do. And he's like, that
one's
they're
one inch off the floor.
Yeah, they're really. And they've named them all, and that's like their little magic time is smoking weed and naming hummingbirds. That's why I'm so weird.
That's it.
Yeah, that's why you're so weird.
Yeah. You know, I myself have a special relationship with hummingbirds.
You do?
I do. When I was in third grade, there was a paper mache project.
Mm-hmm.
I made a hummingbird.
Okay.
One time I was on a meditation retreat, and I watched a hummingbird slam into a piece of glass.
And die?
It looked really dead. It was laying, motionless.
And you went over and you picked it up and it flew away.
No, I watched somebody else pick it up and it flew away. Apparently this isn't that odd.
So it's really not your spirit animal?
No, he's just part of my totem.
All right.
But the black bear is a spirit animal. But yeah, apparently hummingbird.
Get back into bed, Ted.
Quit peeing around your tent.
There's your black bear.
Quit peeing around the yurt.
Climb back in, player.
Yeah.
We ain't done yet.
After this, we're going to changes.
I might look like Ming Rhames, but my hands are softening. I'm your spirit animal.
It's time to shower.
You first.
You know.
But apparently hummingbirds often get stunned and then come back to life.
Isn't it ironic that I saw us take a bath with ivory?
The funny thing, I always bring up that paper mache hummingbird.
Why?
Because there's all the other birds were big and majestic, and I just
wanted to get it over with.
I can't believe I got the hummingbird, the tiny little. I mean, I put a toothpick in him, but then I painted him like red and green, Christmas colors, if you will. And it turned out really nice. People were like, that's a great hummingbird.
It is weird that most of the time you don't really pay attention to a bird unless it's really, really tiny or really, really big.
Yeah, because everything else, you're like,
whatever. You know.
Well, I don't know. They made a whole song about robins.
What's the song about robins?
Rockin' Robin. Tweet.
I am not familiar with this.
That doesn't.
Get off my lawn! I'm going to guess this ranks up there. Smash Mouth.
This was like a number one hit in 1952.
It is an old song, but yeah, it was the 50s version of Smash Mouth.
I want my sardines back!
All right, bad. You guys are damn Orioles fans.
Yeah.
I'm not. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, you're a Pirates fan.
That's just with the name of the team, man. Yeah.
You're a Pirates fan.
I think I've seen an actual Oriole bird like twice in my life.
They're beautiful.
They are. I'm like, oh my God, there's a real Oriole. More successful than the franchise.
Mm-hmm. They should have a franchise.
It's like seeing a praying mantis when you see a hummingbird.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that. I had no idea what the name was. This was okay, huh?
This is fun, like, Robin.
You should come in with this.
This is big in my house growing up. Uh-oh, Mike's dancing.
Of course he is.
And he's following tequila. He's going for it. All right, so maybe there's not any contemporary songs about mid-range birds.
Let me think.
Is there too much TV? How many scripted shows do you think aired in 2018?
This include cable, Netflix, all that stuff?
Not reruns.
All right, no. I would say...
These are scripted original shows. I should have had Mike do this. We could auction it.
200 scripted shows.
Higher.
400 scripted shows.
Higher.
God damn it. 1,000.
All right, 495.
Okay. So basically there's 500 scripted
shows. It's great for the industry. That's great for people to have jobs. It's great for the viewers. I mean, it seems like there's a lot of good shows, though.
I agree with you. But right, this is broadcast TV, cable, pay cable, Netflix, Amazon, Hulu. I mean, it's just ridiculous, though, because in 2002 there was 182.
It's amazing, though, man, because, I don't know, a lot of people get jobs, but then the jobs end up paying less because fewer advertisers, they spread their money. It's a ridiculous thing, but I think we all benefit from it for sure.
Sure.
Yeah, and Miles is right. It's great for the industry. And honestly, you're both right, because there's shows now that they'll make and you'll find that never would have gotten greenlit.
No chance.
No, and that's why the networks are really struggling. They're the one thing in television that, I mean, obviously you have startup cable channels that don't last, but networks are having a hard time.
Are they?
Yeah.
Sort of. It's relative.
Compared, again, compared to what it used to be. This is like talking about...
They still, like nine of the top 10 top-rated shows.
Exactly.
And advertisers still pay them a ridiculous amount of cash.
But you also have to remember, they're not on the same rated system as I just watched a Netflix show.
Right.
So,
yeah. I mean, I will say this. All the networks are super, like, all the, I mean, it's obviously cool and new to be on, like, Netflix or whatever. But I still do think if you want to make, like, the serious money and want to be known all over the country, you got to be on a network.
Without a doubt.
That's a network show.
NFL isn't on, like, Lifetime.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, you got to be on the blowtorch.
Yeah. And it's also why you see, you know, people, like, they might do 1,000 things. They might, you know, you might go over to, you know, Netflix or Hulu to go do something special. But it's like, you're still going to do that 30-minute sitcom.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And honestly, like, I forget. But there is some good shows. Like, we always say, like, Blackish. Like, The Goldbergs, to me, is a very funny show.
Oh, they have some great shows on network.
You've been just watching nothing but Christmas specials, though. Nonstop.
He just said The Goldbergs. Probably not really the biggest Christmas special.
But I better know him.
Actually, we were talking in the Christmas office. Episode.
Really?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's what he said. He's been watching nothing but Christmas stuff because he's got the Christmas spirit.
Yeah. The spirit is in me. Mm-hmm. I've already watched Christmas Vacation.
Bad Santa. All the classics.
I haven't knocked out Bad Santa yet. The spirit is in me. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
And don't forget at the Smith House.
And I'm almost there.
The Smith House, every Christmas, the salamis are out.
Yeah. Thank you, Tim. We appreciate it. All right, Mike's got your headlines coming up here in just a couple of minutes. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill. Now, let's see what's happening in the real world.
All right, here we go. Washington inmate is arrested for breaking a hole in the window and then fishing for drugs.
Sorry. It is time for your headlines.
Now, it's time to hit the head. Lines. Here's Mike Hawk.
Damn, man.
Just jump right to it.
Our top story, the airlines are in the news again.
It's okay, we have plenty of repeats.
That's right.
Ready to go for when we're not here.
We are ready to go. The airlines are in the news again, this time because Alaska Airlines has rolled out a new group of people that they will offer priority boarding for. I believe they've done this in years past. But for the Christmas season, they will be giving priority boarding to all passengers wearing their ugly sweaters while they travel. This will happen on December 21st, which is National Ugly Sweater Day, so keep that in mind, travelers.
Okay. Listen, man, I rolled into the Christmas party yesterday, and I was talking to BD earlier. I said, man, when I walked in, there, a certain person we worked with, they were on their phone having a private phone call by the front door.
Mm-hmm.
Walking to the party, and I said, I was about to say, here for the ugly sweater contest. It occurred to me, he struck me as the type of dude who might just wear that in general. So I said, you realize there's no such thing as a good-looking Christmas sweater, or sweater. I don't know who's in the contest and who's not.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you go to Southwest or wherever it was in Alaska.
Alaska.
And get your feelings hurt. You're here for the ugly sweater.
Come on in.
Right, that would be my thing. Like, get on the plane. Like, I just wore a sweater.
Oh, I'm bad.
Right, there's nothing Christmas on it whatsoever. You're just wearing a sweater.
You look great in it.
Come on in, guys. Another news, let's stick with the airlines. We've all heard of people missing their luggage on flights, but this one gets a little extreme. A plane that had flown from Sacramento to Seattle had just taken off to go from Seattle to Dallas when the pilot came over the PA to announce that the plane was going back to Seattle. Turns out that there was some precious cargo that was supposed to get off in Seattle, a donated human heart.
Oh! So if you're wondering why your luggage got lost, quit bitching.
Right.
I mean, goddamn.
Like, I left my heart in Seattle.
I mean, can you imagine if they, like, that's the one important piece of cargo in that entire plane. They can't get it from point A to point B. That's problematic.
Yeah.
The heart was going to be used for its valves and not for, like, a full transplant, so at least it wasn't that urgent.
Yeah, I bet you the person waiting on those valves I feel different than you.
That's why it was easier to miss, though, because it wasn't, we need to get this to him in the next 5 minutes. Regardless of the delay, the heart made it to the destination in time.
Yeah, and I heard the person, well, I don't know if they're doing fine, but I guess the operation was successful.
Right. So at least everybody did what they were supposed to. Now looking on you, patient. In Mississippi.
Hey, doctors did their part, pilots did their part.
Make it work.
It seems like a lot of pressure on somebody who just got a brand new heart.
It's like a reality show. Okay, make it work.
It's between you and God now, man. Make it happen. In Mississippi, a man that went on a rampage with a front loader was sentenced to 15 years in prison. The man told police that he thought the world was ending and zombies were chasing him when he hijacked the front loader and smashed into no less than 4 cars in a Walmart parking lot before coming to a stop when he hit a palm tree.
PCP.
My favorite part of the story. The DA thought it was important to mention that the man was on drugs at the time of his rampage.
Oh, really?
You didn't need to mention that part.
No one else has ever seen zombies. He has. We just kind of assume that.
Oh, no, we've seen zombies. Remember, there was a story out of Florida not too long ago. That guy was chewing on the other guy's face.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But that was bath salts.
Yeah, he was alive.
Yes.
He was not a zombie.
Zombies are the living dead, Miles.
All right.
They're basically alive again is what they are. KFC has released a new product that people can enjoy this Christmas season. A brand new Yule log.
You tell me I can walk into a KFC and buy a Yule log?
Yes.
For real? I'm pretty
sure you can, Miles.
Really?
The fast food restaurant is releasing their own version of the Yule log that fills your home with the delicious scent of their fried chicken. That to me is rude. That's the same thing as dadgum Christmas cookie scented candles.
Mm-hmm. Right, like, man, give me the chicken.
I use them all the time, though.
I know, and that's why I'm frustrated every time I go to your place, Ted.
All right.
Oh, what you making me?
Right. No. But I can go, oh, cool, I might get a cookie.
I think watching a football game, like, I want my place to smell like chicken.
People come over to them, where's the chicken at? And you're like, yeah. No, it's a Yule log. And like, oh, that sucked.
You know me, I'd be like, it's a log, jackass.
I mean, could you imagine if it smelled like French fries, steak, pizza, whatever it smells right? like? If you don't have that when they get there and all they can do is smell it?
See, I want the wrapping to not be KFC. It's just your regular Yule log wrapping.
Oh, absolutely.
So you put it in there, light it up while everybody's watching the game over at Ted's house. And after a while, they're like, are you cooking chicken, Ted?
Mm-mm. You're right, though. I have definitely walked into my house sometimes and like, it's your candle. What's cooking?
Wonder who's making a pie.
I want a cookie in my home. Right? Odoo broke in and started making cookies.
Snickerdoodles again.
You'll never guess where this next story comes from.
Florida.
A man was arrested over 10 years ago, has struck a plea deal to keep himself out of prison. The man was arrested after it was discovered that he was scamming restaurants and complaining about the quality of food before refusing to pay. So he'd go in and say, there's a hair in my sixth milkshake. I am not going to pay. What has helped keep him out of prison? The fact that he weighs 600 pounds. Between his arrest and his sentencing, the man became ill and now requires a respirator to stay alive while he is bedridden.
Dang.
Prosecutors saw the expenses that they would face, in order to keep the man in the prison. So they decided he's in his own prison. He's likely not coming out of there.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
So they just said, okay, you've got this on your record. Go ahead. Enjoy the rest of your life in that bed.
I mean, it's a good point.
It's not worth the money. Right.
Yeah. Right. And now we're going to foot the bill for this guy to have a respirator inside of a prison cell.
But, and sadly, yeah, 600-pound body. He is in a bad personal prison.
Yeah, man. An airline worker in Kansas City.
Not like the good ones out there.
There's a happy prison there somewhere. An airline worker in Kansas City managed to have a rather interesting day at work after a long, long night. The man had gotten drunk the night before and was still intoxicated when he came to work the next day.
Huh.
I was sober, Miles. It was so bad that he actually fell asleep. What was that look?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
It was so bad that he actually fell asleep in the cargo hold of a plane that he was loading.
Where did he end up?
When he woke up, he found himself in the bright and beautiful city of Chicago from Kansas City.
Okay.
All right.
Not the longest flight, but still.
After talking with the FBI cops and the attorney's office, he was put on a flight home without being charged.
You gotta figure it's nice and cool in there.
You know, that FBI, like, dude, seriously, man.
Is it pressurized? Wouldn't he have a hard time breathing back there?
No,
I know nothing about planes. All of you
I'm
laughing about me? Yeah.
Because they put pets down there, don't they?
Yeah. There's places on a plane that aren't. I know that for certain.
See, you say it's not that long of a flight in a cargo hold. That's a long flight.
That's it for headlines. With that, Mike Hogg is out.
Thanks, sir. We appreciate it. We'll see you next time for the random question. Your guess is as good as mine. Ask the men's room and what else?
Whatever we're doing.
Whatever the hell. We'll find it.
We'll figure
all of that is true. In the meantime, we be all about this badge. So until next time, please do what you do best. And for Aletha's sake, stay beautiful.
The men's room has been taped before a live studio audience. Wardrobe and makeup provided by Mantastic Limited. This has been a presentation of the Men's Room Radio Network.
Oh, man!
A Double Flush production.